Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, TV presenter, and a gastronaut. And this edition is made in partnership with Lionel Hitchin. Today, we're talking about ginger, my daughter's favourite ingredient. For thousands of years, it's been an essential part of many cuisines, and it's hard to think of an ingredient which has quite as distinctive a combination of flavour and aroma and taste. And of course, warmth and brightness and sheer zinginess too, which is perhaps the secret to its success in the modern food industry. Its characteristics are valued by manufacturers of food and drink, but increasingly functional foods and products in the wellness sector as well. It's become a powerful ingredient in many products. So today we're going to explore ginger's potential as a flavour ingredient, but crucially to look at its complexities, the multiple flavour profiles of different varieties and the opportunities that this presents. This is the stuff I love. And I'm delighted to be joined by two fantastic guests from Lionel Hitchin, manufacturer and supplier of flavours and flavour ingredients. Geraldine Coombs is Lionel Hitchin's technical sales manager. Hello there, Geraldine.
Hi, Stefan.
Great to have you. And Fran Padgham is the company's marketing manager. Hello there, Fran.
Hi, Stefan. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you both. I'm really excited about this. Now, first of all, can you tell me a little bit about Lionel Hitchin and the products you produce, Fran?
Yes, sure. Well, Lionel Hitchin is an independent, privately owned company manufacturing and supplying natural flavours and flavour ingredients to the food and beverage industry. The company was founded by Lionel Hitchin in 1965, and we were delighted to celebrate our 58th anniversary last month. The company first produced our specialty orange oil, and then the business expanded to herb and spice extracts. Working with long-established suppliers around the world, we saw citrus, herbs, spices, and botanicals with a focus on quality, availability, and originality. And from these natural materials, we convert them into extracts and specialty products that capture the authentic flavour profile in a convenient-to-use concentrated form suitable for a broad range of food and beverage applications. And I can say that our creative solutions team work with a variety of distillation and extraction techniques that are developed over more than half a century to develop these innovative, authentic flavour ingredients designed to produce a memorable taste experience for the consumer. And our team of flavourists work from a palette of over 3,000 raw materials, many of which are manufactured in-house, which gives us the ability to create complex and highly individual flavours for our customers. And we now supply flavours and flavour ingredients to food and beverage industries around the world, establishing a reputation for developing unique and natural products of the highest quality. I'd also like to say that as well as ensuring the best quality of our raw materials, sustainability is very important to us. And this is where Geraldine can tell us a bit more, having had the opportunity to recently visit a couple of our suppliers.
So, like Fran says, I've been very lucky over the last 12 months to have visited suppliers all over the world and been incredibly impressed with their extensive sustainability projects. It does reconfirm that we work with the best in the industry and we share the same company values. Our key suppliers run various social responsibility programs, play an active role in social development and encouraging growers to use sustainable agricultural practices. Some of the projects that we have overseen include supporting farming communities with education and health programs, where the raw materials come from, and energy reduction and moving to sustainable energy sources, installing windmills and solar panels, and reusing the spent botanical waste as a source of biofuels. This was shown when we were over in India recently, and it was just fantastic to see.
It's really exciting to hear about as well. So specifically, we're talking today about ginger. So let's start with the discussion of the raw ingredient. Now, ginger's native to the tropics, but it's now a cultivated plant. And there are many types with different qualities, which I've only recently become aware of, to be honest. Now, can you tell us all about this, Geraldine?
Yeah, of course. There isn't a huge number of different varieties of ginger, but where they are grown and how they are processed make a big difference to the taste. If people use the dried powdered ginger in the baking of cakes and biscuits, they'll be familiar with the fiery heat. But when you use fresh ginger root in cooking, it gives a more fragrant and spicy heat. The drying process partly converts the compounds that give the heat, the gingerols, to other compounds called shagols and zingerone, which have a higher heat perception.
Did you say zingerone?
Zingerone.
That's awesome. What a great word. I love that.
Zingerone is chemically similar to capsaicin, which is what gives chilies their hot spiciness. Mm. And the other main component that gives ginger its earthy and spicy characteristic is zingiberine.
And can you explain a little bit more about the differences and give us an idea of the range of differences when working with ginger?
Yeah, at Lionel Hitchin, we use ginger extracted by various methods, and then we can process it further to give different taste profiles and functionality. So, for example, green ginger oil is where the ginger root is freshly harvested and then steam distilled. This way it keeps the aromatic and fragrant compounds, floral, green, and some citrusy character, but not the pungent heat compounds. Or the essential oil can be made up from dried ginger root, which is more of an intense flavour. It has some warmth to it, but also the earthy notes of the dried ginger. We can also use what's called oleoresins, where all the flavour and the heat compounds are extracted. Or it can be extracted with ethanol, which is either removed by the distillation process to produce a soft extract or left and used as an infusion at a low dosage rate in the product. So the alcohol doesn't need to be declared.
So where do you look for the best quality raw ingredient? And what is it that you're specifically looking for?
Ginger is cultivated in tropical areas like Western Africa, Indonesia, India, and also is wildly grown in China. The essential oils and the oleoresins that we buy are produced closer to where the actual ginger is grown. And our suppliers, which we have long-standing relationships with, are sourcing the highest quality ingredient. We have rigorous testing of all of our raw materials that we buy to make sure it meets specific specifications for taste and quality, to make sure the products we sell are consistent and safe.
I'm quite jealous of your tasting trips already, to be honest. So, I mean, ginger has exploded in popularity, certainly over the recent years. You know, so many drinks. My daughter makes ginger shots every morning. I mean, ultimately, what's the secret to its popularity?
Well, I think it's its versatility, not only as the raw ingredient, the fact it's available in numerous forms, including fresh, dried, which we talked about today, and pickled, preserved, etc., but also the fact that it ties into so many of the consumer trends. And you look around you on the retail shelves, you see products with the well-being claims, added functionality, people wanting that multi-sensory aspect that ginger gives with the heat for the novel and experimental trends. And also people are looking for more fresh and natural ingredients, which ginger has, as well as the cross-cultural influence where people want that authentic taste profile within the food and beverage that they're experiencing. So to me, that is the secret to ginger's popularity.
It's a whole bundle of things, isn't it? Yeah, the heat and fragrance and all, so much going on. So the question is then, Geraldine, why is ginger flavouring needed rather than just simply having it as an ingredient in a product?
Well, when our customers are using our ginger products, they can be sure that it has been produced in a way that gives a consistent flavour, the colour and how it works in their products. Flavourings have a very long shelf life, so the quality is safe and the taste will be the same throughout its shelf life. They can be reassured that the products have also gone through various safety testing. So you can see from what we've said about the different characteristics of ginger products depend on the country where it's grown and how it's processed. Food and drink producers can select that taste profile that they want to make their products stand out from the crowd and be quite bespoke.
So it's all quite complex. So when you're working with clients, how do you guide them through the maze of what's possible with ginger?
So we offer solutions to the problems that they're facing using the ginger. So clients can come to us with issues around solubility, consistency and flavour, and issues with turbidity. That's with how cloudy the product can be. If they want their product to be crystal clear, water white, we here at Lionel Hitchin have all of the processes in place to be able to help them with that, to make the product fully soluble, crystal clear, and also give them the consistency and flavour throughout their full shelf life. We also have the ability here to take the raw material ginger root, either fresh or dried, and be able to use that in a multitude of different applications, whether it's confectionery, bakery, biscuits, or beverages, or even alcoholic beverage as well. So there's a multitude of different options available.
Excellent. So you have to guide them through, which is exactly what you're going to do for me right now, because you very kindly sent me a bunch of samples before we started recording the podcast. So if you don't mind, can you give me a tutored ginger tasting?
Of course I can. So what we have sent to you, Stefan, is three little bottles for you to smell first. So the first one to smell is ginger oil. This is made from a ginger root that has been dried. So this is from a dry ginger root. So if you want to have a smell of this product.
Okay, let's open the bottle up. Oh, okay. Oh, lordy. Oh, okay. I'm dipping a little flavour dippy thingy.
Little smelling strip.
That's what I said, smelling strip, flavour dippy thingy. Okay.
So you'll be able to smell from the intensity there, the a very earthy ginger product.
I feel like you're about to give me a massage to go with this as well. That's right. So, yes. Okay, so earthy, kind of a real depth to it as well. I mean, opening my sinuses and all sorts. Did you call it Zingarone?
That's exactly what that is. So you've got, let's say, the dried ginger root, which is then steam distilled, which is producing this beautiful essential oil.
Oh, God, that is absolutely fantastic. I love it. Okay, and why would you use this in particular in a product? Is there a particular reason that you would supply this one?
So this is where we were describing before that you can have bespoke kind of flavour compounds. So you may use this for a little bit of depth in the product. And then if we moved on to the green ginger...
No, I like this one. Okay. Right, so let's just open up the next one. Yep.
So if you move on to that one, you will see the difference between the two. So this is taking a fresh ginger root and steaming it while it's still fresh, so it's still got quite a high water content.
Oh, that's so much livelier, isn't it?
It is.
Wow, it's kind of, yes, I mean, greener? I mean, I'm not quite sure of the words to use for this, but much more sort of floral and alive and, yeah, sort of zingy. Zingarones.
It has a high content of citral, so it's got a huge amount of a citric aspect to it. So if you mix the two kind of aspects together, you've got different complexities.
Gotcha.
If you want your product to be far more on the green spectrum, or you want it to be more on the earthy spectrum, you can basically play tunes with all of these different aspects. And that's why, as leaders in the flavour industry, we're able to take all of these ingredients from our store cupboard and make absolutely fantastic flavours with them.
I didn't expect so much difference between the two and so much depth in the first one and so many of those sort of citric, zingy kind of, it sort of zaps around your head. Also, kind of didn't expect that it just makes me feel happy. It's really weird. I mean, tangibly happier by smelling this, which... Not sure if you can put that on a scale of 1 to 10, but it's just
great.
It's really good. I think it's partly about opening up your brain and going, and you know, I'm sitting here in a studio. There's not a lot of sensory input, and suddenly, bang! It sort of explodes. You know, that's absolutely beautiful. Okay. So we have another one as well. Tell me all about this.
So the third little bottle is a ginger oleo resin. So this is taking a dried ginger root and processing it where it keeps both the essential oil part and the earthy aspect to it as well. So it's quite like a molasses.
Oh my gosh, yes, it's completely, it really is.
Quite sticky. But as you'll be able to smell with that one, you've got...
The word oleoresin is the key to this, isn't it?
You'll be able to smell the
oh, wow.
Very deep earthy notes.
gosh, that really is. That is, I mean, and superbly complex. I mean, it's almost chocolatey in its complexity, isn't it?
It's very rich.
Yeah.
So if you have all of these different aspects from that original ginger that's pulled out the ground, if you've got all of these different abilities to process and pull different compounds out, then the possibilities are endless on how much you can do with it.
Yeah.
One product can be completely different to another. And it's great to have all of those tools in the toolbox to be able to kind of play tunes with.
Yeah, absolutely. I never really imagined that there would be that much complexity, that much difference. Oh, gosh, that's extraordinary.
I think that's why it's so popular, isn't it, Geraldine?
Yeah. It's so versatile because, like you say, you can have the Jamaican ginger cakes. You can have all of these different aspects of which we all reminisce.
And it's that Jamaican ginger cake. That's what I'm really getting from the olea resin as well.
From the olea resin.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Okay, so you also sent me a couple of bottles. Tell me all about these.
So I thought it would be really helpful for you to be able to taste the difference as well as just smelling the difference. So we can start with the ginger oil.
Mm-hmm. This is the kachin.
It is, yes. So this is the dried ginger.
And kachin is does that relate to pork kachin in Kerala?
It is in Kerala, yes, in India.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here is the drink with it in. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's it's the warmth and you're right, it's the earthiness, isn't it? The real.
You should also have an element of heat to that as well.
Yeah.
So you should have a rounded flavour, quite a top note though. The oils are very much as a top note.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it sort of opens up your sinuses. It's got this sort of, it sort of floods the brain in a way, which is, it's just fantastic. Okay. Very, very interesting. Okay, and next one
is the
green ginger oil. Now, remind me what the green ginger oil relates to.
So the green ginger is a fresh ginger, so it hasn't been through the drying process. Yeah. It's taken straight from farm to the distillation process within 24 hours. So it keeps it, the water content doesn't have an opportunity to flash off those volatile.
So it keeps hold of those flavour volatiles.
Keeps hold of them, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Woo-ha! Oh, and again, it's just, those green floral flavours are extraordinary and citrusy and much livelier kind of sense rather than the earthier, warming kachin one. That's fantastic, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And are these often used in drinks? Is this one of the primary uses?
It can be used in many things. There are so many opportunities. So, yes, it's used in drinks, but they're also used in confectionery, chocolates.
And the last one we've got here is the ginger flavour. Now, does this relate to the olea resin?
It does. So the olea resin, as you can see, is extremely sticky and like molasses. So therefore, we have to process this to make it water soluble.
Yeah.
So we have taken the olea resin and we have made the product soluble into the ginger flavour. So it's 100% from the named herb and spice. It will have all of the complexities in this one. So you will be able to taste the earthiness, you'll be able to taste the top note from the ginger oil, but you'll also have the fire and the heat as well. So it's a bit of it's got all of the complexities into one with that one.
Yeah. And the combination of them makes it very, very savoury. It's really interesting. It's sort of almost mouthwatering in the roundness of it. That's I love that. Oh, getting on a right journey here. Here we go. Right. Okay. We've got to stop just listening to me glugging bits. Oh, that's really, I've got a real warmth in my mouth. All right. Stop. Okay, we've got to move on. Otherwise, I'm just talking about myself. So all of our senses are being activated by ginger, all of our senses working together. Do you think that the multi-sensory aspect is widely appreciated by people looking for flavours?
No, I don't think people really understand the complexity of ginger. That is a unique, universal ingredient, as Geraldine explained, with the differences depending on what the starting raw material is. And all the opportunities available, especially for NPD, that's available for flavour innovation. I think it's been quite underutilised over the years. I don't know whether, Geraldine, you have anything to add to that.
like we've said about ginger, there's so many different possibilities with it. It's really versatile. When people think of ginger, sometimes it goes back to the memories of ginger cakes, ginger biscuits, ginger snaps, all of these different products. Mm. But they maybe haven't thought about how that can be used in different aspects and what that benefits that can bring.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I mean, there's all those things like sort of the mouthfeel of it. But there's a sort of psychological aspect to it as well, of a sort of the kind of tropical sensation that you're getting from it, which does transport you in a very, very different way. Now, there's a huge growth in the market for drinks with benefits now. So health benefits, wellness benefits, functional benefits, and so many different products on the market now. When you look at the possibilities with ginger, what gets you the most excited?
Like I said, the endless possibilities with flavour pairing using ginger, particularly in the beverage sector. And with the rise of the low, no and the cocktail movement as well, in a recent report from the IWSR Drinks Market Analysis, it predicts that the low and no alcohol consumption will increase by a third by 2026. And according to Mintel, recent innovation in the low and no alcohol beverages focuses on improving the sensory and visual experience and producing next-gen beverages with functional health benefits. Also, the rise in that mindful drinking trends and alcohol-related health concerns are influencing some of the consumers to replace standard alcoholic drinks with low and no. However, an unpleasant taste and flavour can make these beverages quite unappealing. So if you use the ginger, which does work really well in soft drinks, it also translates really well into cocktails and mocktails. Mm. And as you will be experiencing, that multi-sensory aspect really does, the cooling aspect, the heat, can mimic the characteristics of an alcohol and can...
That's so true, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
So it really is an exciting time for using ginger in different ways.
And I guess we're at quite an experimental stage when it comes to food and drink. But is there an area of the market that you think is ripe for using ginger where it hasn't been before? Perhaps an area where it's been overlooked?
Probably along the lines of the previous question. Alcohol-flavoured, low-calorie, gluten-free, functional, like low and no alcoholic beverage have become increasingly appealing to consumers with health concerns. And in the future, these drinks could also be a good alternative to the standard carbonated drinks.
I think generally one of the things that is really exciting, which hadn't really occurred to me before, is the mimicking those effects of ethanol, which, you know, we've done so many podcasts about people trying to make no-low drinks and make them work. But getting that ginger functionality is really interesting. And so, yeah, I think you could be onto a winner there. Okay, well, that's been absolutely fantastic and fascinating as well. And I never realised that there was such depth to this area. And it's made me really open my eyes to what's possible with ginger. So Geraldine Coombs and Fran Padgham, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Stefan.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode made in partnership with Lionel Hitchin. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. And remember, if you enjoy the Food Matters Live podcast, you can subscribe via your preferred platform. And if you feel inclined, why not leave us a review? Thank you so much for listening.